This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you. And welcome back again to Faith in Action, where we are discussing of how Islam necessitates that for a person who calls himself a believer, the very first consequence of that proclamation of his or of hers is that it must be manifested in action. And so far we have spoken about different actions that are manifestation of faith. And inshallah, today we also have another action that would be considered to be a manifestation of faith as well. Now, we Muslims, when we speak about Islam, we like to say that Islam is a way of life, simply because it shapes and molds our thoughts, our attitudes, and our behavior. As long as we are on this world, Islam has a say about these things. It molds us, it shapes us, it produces us. And as such, it's not surprising that Islam has a say in many things that in other traditions people will find to be very personal or very secular. And in Islam, this notion is not really there. You know, even though on the surface it may be secular, but it qualifies to be an act of worship. And it can be seen as an act of worship, even though it is personal, but it does also qualify in being an act of worship. So Islam, there is no dichotomy between that which is religious and that which is secular, or between that which is ritual and that which is the spiritual. That dichotomy does not exist. Now, we may do this, but in Islam, that is not part of the teachings of Islam. So of these things that usually sound and seem to be very personal, yet Islam has a say in it, is the idea of being mindful and being conscious of what it is that we consume, what it is that we eat, akl tayyib, the eating of that which is pure and good. And in numerous places, in about 17 places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does talk about this idea of akl tayyibat, consuming that which is good. And as you know, the eating part of it, interestingly also, is the very first test that humans have had. Adam alayhi salam was his wife. The very first step was, it had to do with eating. لا تقرب هذه الشجرة. لا تأكل من هذه الشجرة. Do not approach this tree. Do not eat of this tree. So even the first challenge that we humans have faced had to do with the whole idea of eating. So the Quran did devote some attention to this concept of eating. In about 17 places in the Quran, the believers have been commanded, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O ye who believe, eat of the tayyibat that we have given you. Tayyibat is the plural of the word tayyib. And again, interestingly, the Quran has different usages for the word tayyib. Tayyib is that which is good, pure, that is used in reference to food, but also it is used in reference to words. وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And they were guided to that which is tayyib of words and sayings. And the Israelites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ فِيهِ. Eat of the goodness that we have blessed you with, and do not exceed bounds in it. Also, when it comes to the verse in Surah An-Nur, light, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "At-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat," that some people have translated it to be good men to good women, or some people say that it really means that good words are only befitting to come out of good people, and good people are only befitting to say good words. But nevertheless, the case is that the word tayyib is used in a general term in the Quran that means pure. It means beautiful many times. It means that which is lawful as well. And now we are strictly dealing with the idea of food. So the command comes to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Or ye who believe, eat of the طيب that we have blessed you with. Some people have said that the word طيب means anything that is halal, lawful, is called طيب. Some people have said that it is anything where there is no disobedience to Allah in it when it comes to food. And also, وَلَا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ حَيْوَانٌ, and that it does not harm any animal in the process, they said that is طيب. Some people have said that طيب is that which is tasty. Some people said that there is actually a distinction between halal and طيب. He said that halal is what jurists say is lawful, permissible. And طيب is that which your own heart tells you that this is طيب, or this is lawful. Some people say that halal is that which is lawful, and طيب is that which is beneficial. And that is why the believers also have received a command to eat that which is halal and طيب, that which is lawful as well as طيب, meaning good or pure or any of the other meanings that we have discussed. So interestingly, in the Quran, the idea of approaching food is discussed in three different ways. Number one, Allah qualifies what kind of good are we to consume. It says, كُلُوا حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. It said, eat that which is halal and that which is طيب. Some people said, not only the content of what we're eating is halal, but also the means by which we acquired what we are about to consume must also be halal. So they said that stolen food may be tasty, but it's not halal. Stolen food may be beneficial, but it is not halal. So they say that halal here is in reference to us acquiring it through lawful means. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, has actually warned us against consuming anything that does not belong to us or that was acquired by illegal means. And that is why in Islam, wealth can only be acquired through very known four means. You either work for it, and it was wages in exchange of work that you did, or it was hiba, that we call gift, and in that it must be given to you from the rightful owner of whatever is being given to you. And it cannot be given to you because you somehow shamed the person or you put them in a corner and they had no choice but to give it to you. They must be willingly wanting to give that to you. Or they say that it becomes our money because we have inherited it. So these are the three means by which at that point, you know, we can say that this is being lawfully, technically lawfully halal for us. By means of work, by means of gift, and by means of inheritance. So he said that the first requirement is that it must be halal. What we used to buy it with, the content of it must be halal. And Allah is being so grateful to us and so merciful to us that content-wise, that which is haram is very limited. You know, avoid 1, 2, 3, 4 types of animals, animals that died because of natural causes. And that is really all. And once that is over, everything else is halal, subhanAllah. That is again by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that is harmful to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from consuming it for our own good. It's not like, you know, if we don't consume it, Allah somehow is going to benefit from it. A'udhu billah. That is not befitting to His Majesty. But rather Allah says, do this and don't do that for your own good. And that is why Ibn al-Qayyim says that anything that is good is halal. And anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared to be haram, He declared it to be haram because it's either not beneficial to us or it is not good to us. So that is the first requirement, and that it must be halal. The way it was acquired and the content of it must also be halal. The second requirement, it must be tayyib. Tayyib meaning, like we said, of benefit and that which is pure. And the distinction here is beautiful. They said that certain types of food may be halal, they may be lawful, but they're not necessarily tayyib. So it said halal is for the congregation, for everybody, but tayyib had to do more with the individual. For example, sugar for a person who is diabetic. Now, sugar is halal. That is the general rule. Sugar is halal. It is lawful. You can have sugar. However, for a person who is diabetic, that type of food is not tayyib. It is not good for them. So as such, it only fulfilled the first requirement of it being halal, but it was not tayyib. Let's say a person who is struggling with their weight and they have a big problem with their weight, certain types of food may be halal, but to that specific individual, they are not tayyib. They are not of benefit to that specific individual. So some scholars, they like to make that distinction. And then the Quran also qualifies it with something else. He said, yes, eat that which is halal. Eat that which is tayyib. But then it also brings in another qualification. And it says that it has to be halal, it has to be tayyib. And then it says, kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat and drink and do not do so excessively. Do not cross the bounds. And that is why I believe it was Al-Qurtubi. He said this ayah is the summary of medicine. He said it is a summation of medicine. Because it's about eating and drinking, but not doing so excessively or wastefully. He said, جَمَعَتِ الطِّبَّ كُلَّهُ. It summarizes all of medicine. And the reason why is most people believe that most of the diseases that come our way, they come our way because of what we consume or how much we consume. Therefore, the way that you control this is by number one, making sure that it is halal, lawful. Then it must be tayyib, it must be of benefit. And then it says, wala tusrifu, and do not exceed, do not do so excessively, and do not do so wastefully. And subhanAllah, the reason being here is that yes, eat, yes, drink, but do not be excessive. And inshallah, more to be said about this point. We'll take a short break and we will be back, so please do stay tuned. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praises due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we welcome you back again saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon all of you. Once again, if you just joined us, we're talking about how Islam is a way of life. And it being a way of life, it molds our thoughts, it molds our feelings, and it has a say in almost everything and anything that has to do with us. And part of what Islam says is the idea of eating. Because subhanAllah, eating is one of the joys that, you know, human beings can immediately have what we call that immediate gratification. It's a joy for all. So Allah does not want to deprive us of that joy. But rather Allah said, take that energy and put it in the proper channel. So it says, kulu washrabu, eat and drink. Now, wait a minute. How would and why would Allah say eat and drink, even though we as humans can only live if we eat and drink? So that would be redundant to actually point out the obvious, eat and drink. I know that I cannot survive without eating and drinking. Because sometimes erroneously, people may think that depriving myself of eating and drinking is somehow pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, that is not how you please Him. Allah does not gain anything by you depriving yourself from drinking. He doesn't. Allah does not benefit in any way, shape or manner by you not eating. He does not. So Allah is telling you, I want you to eat and I want you to drink in order to sustain your life. However, when you eat and when you drink, make sure that you are not guilty of israf, you're not doing so wastefully, and you're not doing so excessively. And this point is so beautifully summarized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Utitu jawami' al-kalim." I was given the ability to say so much in very little words. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Ma mala'a ibnu Adam wi'aan sharran min batnihi." He said that the son of Adam or the child of Adam, be it a man or a woman, they have not filled a vessel to its top or to its max worse than their own tummy. In other words, the worst vessel to fill completely is your own tummy, the Prophet ﷺ said. He said rather that what is sufficient for man is enough morsels, لُقَيْمَاتْ يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَةً, to keep your back straight, meaning that to provide you with sufficient energy to carry out your day-to-day activity. He said that this child of Adam must eat, and when he